Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli officials reportedly had the Hamas battle plan for the October 7th terrorist attack in hand more than a year ago. The New York Times says Israel believed it was too difficult for Hamas to carry out. Meanwhile, CBS's Natalie Brand says there is renewed violence in Israel.
Posing a new threat to the fragile pause in the war, Israeli police say Palestinian gunmen opened fire on people waiting for buses along a main highway entering Jerusalem. At least several Israelis were killed and other people wounded, including two Americans.
Tomorrow could be the last day in office for New York Republican Congressman George Santos, says CBS's Scott McFarland.
Santos would be only the sixth person ever to be expelled from the U.S. House. But for that to happen, it's not a majority, but two-thirds of those voting who'd have to vote to do so.
In a televised debate on the Fox News Channel, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis told California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom that criminals are in charge in his state.
In a lot of these places in California, everything's under lock and key because they basically legalized retail theft. They have chosen in California to put the interests of the criminals over public safety.
Newsom said DeSantis says he supports police, but his actions say something different.
I love this guy talking about backing the blue when you dangled pardons for January 6th insurrectionists, 85 of them that were literally charged with attacking law enforcement.
We have new information about a large overdose incident that took place at a home in Battle Creek, Michigan on Thanksgiving. Calhoun County Health Department Medical Director William Nettleton.
What we're seeing is this trend towards people who primarily use a stimulant, such as cocaine or methamphetamine, also being affected by an opioid overdose, or fentanyl, perhaps, in this case, as well.
At least 10 people were saved by medics. A new study says the U.S. is unprepared to house and care for its growing number of elderly people.
The Harvard report says without increased government assistance, many older adults will have to forego care or rely on family and friends for help, and homeless numbers could spike. Over the next 10 years, the population over the age of 75 is forecast to increase by 45%, growing from 17 million to nearly 25 million. And many of those people are expected to struggle financially. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Portuguese soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo has been hit with a lawsuit for his role in promoting cryptocurrency-related non-fungible tokens, or NFTs. The lawsuit says his promotions were deceptive and unlawful. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Of seven unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Tournament time in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament getting underway tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badgers, with a record of 26-3, take on Jackson State. It's been an exciting journey, says head coach Kelly Sheffield.
You know, our wins against Nebraska or Iowa, we can talk about the draw. We're certainly excited about the draw and being able to host here opening weekend. talk about Jackson State. We can go a lot of different directions. So just a great time of year.
Baseball, Devin Williams named the National League's best relief pitcher of the year. The Brewers closer had 36 saves in 61 games this season. NFL, the Packers host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, there's not many quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes out there, and you combine him with guys like Travis Kelce. That's one of the best combinations in all of the National Football League.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Overcast overnight with a low of 28. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, 36. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here.
Oh, man. Happy Friday Eve to you, Crudy. It's been a long week already. Nate, good to see you, our fair audience. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And, you know, there is some really, really big breaking news in our backyard we're going to get to in just a minute. But first and foremost, there's some other eves. Today is the day before some pretty big stuff, Dom. Do you know tomorrow is the day when you can start qualifying to be a spring election candidate in the great state of Wisconsin? And that's like the municipal level. If you want to be a judge or run for municipal, man, we're in the civics game here, are we not? I mean, we make civics sexy and fun, but that's what we do here. So anyways, it is the eve of the day when you can start making yourself a candidate for a spring election. And one of our friends did just that today, Dom. Melissa Agard, the Senate Minority Leader, no longer. She is stepping down from caucus leadership. And we clarified this point. Thank you, boys. And she will remain in the Senate, it would appear, while she runs for Dane County Executive to replace the retiring, air quotes, Joe Parisi. But Parisi is stepping down. Special election will be held in concurrence with the 2024 presidential. So Melissa Agard on the ballot. She's in it to win it. Dom's going to have to win a primary first, I suspect. But she's the first one into the pool. And I got to tell you, she is one of our favorite politicians. She has been doing the work for more than a decade. She was on the county board before she was a state assembly person, before she was a state senator, before she was the minority leader in the state Senate, which means, Dom, they got a little vacancy in the leadership on the Senate side. So it's also caucus picks a new leader Eve here, Dave, Dom.
Right. They're not wasting any time. I mean, Agard announced today, and they're having this vote tomorrow.
A vote for the new leadership of the caucus. And Dom, people are like, I didn't even know we needed a new leader. Who are the candidates? Well, here they are. My understanding. Early reporting. Although there's not going to be late reporting until somebody wins tomorrow. And I would also remind the assembled, There's only like 11 senators, Democrats, left in the state. The Republicans have no say here. So what? First one to four wins?
Right. Spin the bottle, Crudy.
Here are the candidates, self-declared candidates for caucus leadership. My understanding, Diane Hesselbein, the senator from Middleton, newly elected senator. She had been an assembly person. Jeff Smith. Now, we've known Jeff for a while. Jeff is a little farther north than us. Eau Claire area, I believe Jeff is from. Senator Smith. And Kelda Royce, one-time gubernatorial candidate. She obviously is a state senator and has served with some distinction here from the Madison area. Somebody's got to be the leader. Tomorrow, when we come on the air, we'll tell you who. And speaking of tomorrow's show, it's Bill Press Eve.
Bill's coming back, man. Bill's been gone a while. We look forward to having Bill join us. What, I think about 5 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to get caught up with Bill Press. And Crudy, we were talking about this. Who's older, Bill Press or President Biden?
I'm not throwing Bill under the bus.
Oh, we're not throwing under the bus. We're just talking. Bill Press is 83 years old. His birthday will be this upcoming April. And of course, we know Joe Biden just turned 81 this month. Bill Press, by over a couple of years.
Does Bill Press want to run for president? Because he is a vital dude. I mean, people age slightly differently, and I'm just telling you, I'd vote for Bill.
I'll vote for Biden. For sure. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Bill Press is coming on tomorrow. I think we got Melissa Agard on the board.
We're going to have to confirm times, but hopefully the newly declared Dane County executive candidate, Melissa Agard, most importantly, friend of ours. Hopefully she can still join us tomorrow. And Tom, your boy, George Santos, he's on the outs. This might be his last day as a congressman. And you and he'll have to come up with a new scheme.
I don't know what it's going to be. I heard a little bit of him today. I mean, this debate on the floor. He's very proud of his conservative values that he's brought. He's tried to fulfill his campaign promises. Thinking about myself, what, dude? Were you on the same planet? How is George Santos even there right now? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Republicans have a very slim majority in the House of Representatives.
Well, my understanding, they have the votes to expel. My understanding hasn't happened yet. But on his way out the door, he wants to take Bowman down, right? The Democratic rep that pulled the fire alarm got convicted on a misdemeanor charge.
Misdemeanor.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me. Santos's final plea, my understanding, Dom, will be to burn a bridge with Bowman on the way out.
I wouldn't doubt if he tries to burn more bridges on the way out. I've seen miscellaneous reporting that he's going to, you know, tell on all of his cohorts what the nasty things they've all been up to. So it should be interesting. But for real, man, I mean, this is the priorities in the House of Representatives. This is what you get when you elect a chaos agent. That's what they do. This is chaos. It serves no purpose. It doesn't bring this country forward. Doesn't solve anything. Hey, this guy's really bad. He's one of the worst we've ever seen. Hell, he's so bad, we're gonna kick him out before his conviction because it's so blatantly obvious what a fraud and criminal this guy is.
It's gonna become quite obvious to our audience that we are burying the lead here, Dom. There's great big breaking news out of the state of Wisconsin. We'll get to your favorite topic, the deflowering of George Santos from his congressional position. But here is the breaking news. Let's not hold it back. Unions in Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. They're suing to roll back Act 10, or at least many of the applications of Act 10. Right, Dom? I know you're...
AP. I saw this. This is... I guess I'm not surprised given the change. You know, the Republicans are saying, oh, this is all because you've got Proto Sayowitz on here now. But this is absolutely big news. The AP reporting, our pal Scott Bauer, the title, Unions in Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. Several unions representing teachers and public workers in Wisconsin filed a lawsuit Thursday attempting to end the state's near total ban on collective bargaining for most public employees. The 2011 law, known as Act 10, has withstood numerous legal challenges over the past dozen years and was the signature legislative achievement of former Republican Governor Scott Walker, Crudy's buddy, who used it to mount a presidential run. You know, if he could face down 100,000 protesters, he could do the same with ISIS, Crudy. Remember, that one didn't last very long. The latest lawsuit is the first since the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to liberal control in August, but it was filed in a county circuit court, unlike other major cases that have gone directly to the Supreme Court since its ideological shift, and will likely take more than a year to make its way up for a final ruling. Now, Crudy, I know you've been critical of some of these cases going directly to the Supreme Court. How are you feeling about this process?
Proper. It's the right way to do it.
The Act 10 law effectively ended collective bargaining for most public unions by allowing them to bargain solely over base wage increases, no greater than inflation. That's not much collective bargaining there, folks. It also disallowed the automatic withdrawal of union dues, required annual recertification votes for unions, annual, and forced public workers to pay more for health insurance and retirement benefits. The law's introduction in 2011 spurred massive protests. We remember that. That stretched on for weeks. It made Wisconsin the center of a national fight over union rights, catapulted Walker onto the national stage. That also didn't last long. Sparked an unsuccessful recall campaign and laid the groundwork for his failed 2016 presidential bid.
Winker. The law's
adoption led to a dramatic decrease in union membership across the state. And Crudy, I would submit that was the whole point. You want to kneecap the donors, the labor on the union side. As a Republican, that's what they did.
Well, they were also
defund your political opponents.
They were also, quote unquote, the ground forces of the Democratic Party. They were often forefront in knocking doors once upon a time. A little bit more from Scott Bauer at the AP. Breaking news in Wisconsin. Unions soon overturn Act 10. This lawsuit, back to the text, filed by the teachers and other public workers on Thursday, alleges that Act 10's exemption of some police, firefighters, and other public safety workers from the bargaining restrictions violates the Wisconsin Constitution's equal protection guarantee. It would seem that might be a meritorious reason, Dom. The complaint notes that those exempted from the restrictions endorsed Walker in 2010 gubernatorial election, while those subject to the restrictions did not. Almost like he played politics, Dom.
Yeah, weird.
A similar argument was made in a federal lawsuit alleging that Act 10 violated the equal protection guarantee in the U.S. Constitution, but a federal appeals court in 2013 said the state was free to draw a line between public safety and other unions, and the following year again ruled that the law was constitutional, that again under federal law. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2014 also upheld the law as constitutional, rejecting a lawsuit brought by teachers and the Milwaukee Public Workers. The case raised different arguments than the current lawsuit. And in 2019, a federal judge rejected a lawsuit brought by two arms of the International Union of Operating Engineers that argued the law mandate violates free speech and free association under the First Amendment. The Wisconsin court should follow the lead of the Missouri Supreme Court, which struck down a law resembling Act 10 in 2021 based on similar arguments. Union attorney Jacob Carabel said in a written statement, if the case reaches the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's unclear who would actually hear it. Justice Protasiewicz this year tilted control of the court to a 4-3 in favor of the liberals. Well, we know that part, Dom. We'll come back and talk more about this, but perhaps recusals necessary. I mean, didn't Hagedorn draft Act 10?
He sure did, man. Yeah, some interesting issues going to be brought once this case eventually makes its way through.
Which side are you on, Dom?
Oh, bring it back, man. Come on. It's not collective bargaining if you can only bargain on base wage up to inflation. That's not bargaining.
More Devil's Advocates.
The Shaw, WAUK.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off
the holiday season. The 60th Annual Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your calls always welcome. Hell, they're encouraged at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, before we get into full-fledged Walker bashing, I want to acknowledge some nice people. Sent us, you know, sort of a text message, old school. A written, handwritten letter.
They still make those?
They do. Occasionally. Occasionally we get nice correspondence. I'd like to share this one. Hey, Crudy, Dom, sending you my bumper sticker I put on my little Toyota Yaris. Had it on my car when Walker, and then the Walker is crossed out, and then it says, Wanker, ran for governor the second time. Received many middle fingers outside of Madison, but loved every moment just sending this to make you guys smile and laugh. Oh, I smiled broadly, and I laughed a little bit. He also pointed out, and I want to acknowledge this part as well. I was at the Johnny's on the lake in Beaver Dam. Remember that Trumpster bar we did a couple of parties at?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so anyways. Ross informed me he was at that party and he said, I'm the guy who gave you $400 cash in an envelope with the plea. You have to turn this around. I think he meant you, Dom. Your bar tab was getting exquisite. Anyways, here's what he said. Wow, did you guys ever. So proud of the both of you guys. I listen almost every day. Well, that's my problem. Almost every day, Ross?
Almost? Come on, man.
If anybody's asking, you tell them 2 hours every day. I listen almost every day. Thanks for what you do every day. Our best, Ross and Mary. Thank you, Ross and Mary.
Oh, and thank you. Nice.
On many different levels, but I have posted that bumper sticker. I mean, he removed it from the bumper and then he very carefully put wax paper on it and then paper clips and then put it in a vanilla envelope and then mailed it to the greatest radio show host ever, us. And then I just put it up on Facebook so you could also enjoy what this bumper sticker said. And I'm going to read it to the people. I've posted it, you know, sort of this way, vertically instead of horizontally, just to piss you off.
No, because you don't know how to turn it. You know,
I didn't. I was trying to do something. It's Scott Walker on the left, and it says, "Does this ass look my car? Make my car look big? Does this ass make my car look big?"
Fantastic.
Remember what was on the old studio doors on University Avenue? Scott Walker worship Satan. we moved that one around. I also was very careful on the peel on that one, man. Traveled with that one. And then
some of those are, you know, they don't come off. Some of those bumper stickers will take the paint off your car. So the fact that he was able to very gently and gingerly get that off and so carefully send it, fantastic.
Remember when somebody made us bumper stickers at the old Resistance Radio? Yeah. And it said Trump on there and then like dumb Trump or something. And I had one on the shiny red midlife crisis, that bumper sticker. And we went to a Trump rally with an anti-Trump bumper sticker on my car. And I peeled that one off in real time before we went inside. Did I not? I was a little concerned about the midlife crisis. I don't fear for my personal safety, but certainly for my car.
Getting keyed up. Yeah, no doubt.
I don't even have that car anymore. Now I miss that car. But you know who I don't miss? The former gubernator, Scotty Wanker. And last night, maybe earlier today, Dom, he had to wade in on the whole Satan tree issue. Because of course he did. What's next? A Hamas-inspired menorah to celebrate Chanukah? Scott Walker. And there's more here. These people are nuts. No one should visit this museum until everyone who is responsible for the satanic tree is fired from a private museum. Anyway, Scott Walker's posting of the WSAU.com Ashwaubenon's National Railroad Museum faces backlash due to satanic temple Christmas tree. I bet he only posted that because he's probably quoted in the article. I didn't bother reading it. I figured as one
who occasionally puts out some bad analogies, let me just say this. The Hamas-inspired menorah to celebrate Hanukkah. Okay. And as the non-believer, I think I have to point this out to everybody. You know, Hamas is a terrorist group of Palestinians, right? And Israel, you know, full of Jews. These are people. These are people that bleed red, that breathe air. These are amongst us. They're our peers in humanity. See what I'm saying? A Christmas tree, a pagan symbol of, you know, Christmas now, but, you know, taken over by the religious to bring them into the fold back in the day, is about, you know, gods and myth and all those kinds of things. It's not a fair comparison.
Come on, Scott K is a PK. He's a preacher's kid.
People, not spirits and ethereal and this thing in the sky and faith and belief and things that I contend do not exist. People exist. This is not a Hamas-inspired menorah. Is nothing like a satanic Christmas tree. Those are not even close to being the same thing at all, ever.
So I felt the need to respond. It was on Facebook, and somehow these postings from Walker find themselves in my feed constantly. So I responded, and I wrote, Molotov, wanker. Remember when he sent a Jewish greeting to the people of Wisconsin, signed Molotov, like the cocktail you throw.
Fill with gasoline and throw and start fires with? Yeah, a Molotov cocktail? Yes, I know what that is.
Does Walker draw a distinction? I don't know if he does. That Venn diagram, I don't think he quite understand how that works. So anyways, felt a little need to just point out the wanker is on the wrong side of every portion of history, is he not?
Yeah, but if there is a little sniff of flavor, just an inkling, an inch, a tad of cultural war that you can get in and try to ply out and push on people, Scott Walker will get his itchy little fingers all over it. That's what he does, man. He trolls looking for these very specific kinds of issues that he thinks are going to what? Royal the people. Come on, he is the leader of the young
Adolf's Foundation?
Young America's Foundation. He's responsible for inspiring the youth, the next generation of great conservative thinkers following the lead of Scott Walker.
If this lawsuit
that's what he does.
Were to prevail, Dom, that we've reported the breaking news in the state of Wisconsin, 7 unions suing to overturn Act 10. If Act 10 were rolled back, would there be any reason Scott Walker was ever governor? I mean, if you roll back the bad acts, what's got left to work with?
Well, the bad acts, I mean, come on, man. He can always, you know, rest his laurels on Foxconn.
Well, that was quite a success, wasn't it? Can't go ride the rail.
Mining? I mean, I don't know. His
greatest success will be killing the high-speed rail and sticking the state of Wisconsin taxpayers with the bill to pay for the train cars anyways, which was more than the maintenance cost was going to be on a $1 billion infrastructure investment.
And rejecting the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, that's indefensible.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
More devils.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News special report, the seven-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza has ended. The Israeli military says Hamas has violated the truce by firing toward Israeli territory from Gaza. The IDF says it has now resumed combat against Hamas in Gaza. CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem says Hamas is now taking responsibility for shooting and killing three people at a bus stop in the city.
Hamas says this attack was at least partly inspired by a recent spate of killing, specifically of children, of minors in the Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank.
The end of the truce likely means the end of aid being trucked into Gaza, which is already struggling, says Dr. Tanya Hodge Hassan of Doctors Without Borders.
Water, food, and medicine, I would say, and fuel are the four top priorities. By medicine, it's everything from doctors to equipment to disposables. These are all things that are required.
CBS News special report.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Keller Royce is also interested. A vote is expected by the end of the day on Friday. President Biden does better with likely voters in recent polls, while Donald Trump does better with less than likely voters, assuming that's the presidential matchup next year. Pollster Charles Franklin.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Overcast overnight with a low of 28. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow 36. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you every weekday on the Civic Media Network and on our app very soon. A big shout out to Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, and of course, our fantastic guests who have been helping to hold down the fort while I've been gone. So I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. And Asgo's Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
Asgo's Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. We'll air some grievances tomorrow. But today, Don, today we got some big breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. A number of unions have filed a lawsuit seeking to effectively overturn Act 10. And the AP broke this story, Scott Bauer. And there's more to this, Don, because if this case does make it all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, might have some recusal issues on our hand. Justice Janet Protasiewicz, whose win this year tilted the majority of the court 4-3 in favor of liberals, said during the campaign that she believes Act 10 is unconstitutional. Oh, geez, Dom, she's prejudged. She'll have to recuse, right? She has told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she would consider recusing herself from any case challenging the law. Protasiewicz participated in protest against the law and signed the petition to recall Walker. So it would take a lot of ethical purity to feel like those simple things merited her recusal. But if one wanted to be beyond reproach, that would be something to consider. But what about Justice Brian Hagedorn?
That's a great question, Michael.
The guy that actually helped draft the Act 10, the guy that wrote the Act 10. Now, he's on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He would surely recuse, would he not? Let's see what he had to say to Scott Bauer, or at least let's see what Scott's reporting tells us. Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn was Walker's chief legal counsel and had a role in drafting the Act 10 law. But during his successful run for the court in 2015, Hagedorn would not promise to recuse himself if the case challenging Act 10 came before the court. Well, I guess Protasiewicz hasn't made any promises either, right, Dom? If the latest lawsuit in Wisconsin is successful, all public sector workers who lost their collective bargaining power would have it restored. Be like magic, Dom. They would be treated the same as the police, the firefighters, and other public safety unions who remain exempt. You know, the Walker and Dorsey's.
You know, come on.
Which is the very issue that this is being sued under Wisconsin's constitution, because it's already gone up the federal flagpole. And under federal law, apparently this is hunky-dory. But under Wisconsin law, this would not be equal treatment under the law, and we have a differing constitution. Here's a quote. The end of Act 10 would mean that we would have a real say again in our retirement plans, healthcare, and time off without the threat of loss of our union every year, said Wayne Rasmussen, who works for the Racine Unified School District. Rasmussen is one of three individuals named in the lawsuit, along with the unions. He is vice president of the Service Employees International Union of Wisconsin, SEIU, which represents healthcare workers and others. Republican State Senator Dirty Duty, hard for me to say, Dewey Strobel, Dirty Dewey, reacted to the lawsuit with a social media post accusing Democrats of fighting to take our state backwards.
Is that what it is? Well, or is it, you know, equal access to the same rules, man? The police and the firefighters, the ones that voted for Scott Walker, they have a different union, a different collective bargaining rules that they have to live by than what? Than the teachers? How is that equitable? Dewey.
Left-wing activists are engaging in more lawfare because they expect the new liberal activist majority to legislate from the bench, Strobel said. You can't even legislate from the chamber, Strobel. Anyways, my personal opinions aside, let me continue. Democratic Governor Tony Evers' administration was named as a defendant in the lawsuit since it is charged with implementing the law. But Evers opposed Acton at the time when he was the state education secretary, and he also signed the Walker recall petition. Well, I don't expect him to recuse from governorship.
You know, come on. Spokespersons for Evers and the State Department of Justice, which is charged with defending the state in the lawsuit, did not return an email and text seeking comment. Crudy, again, Scott Bauer at the AP, big news here today. Unions of Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. Or what it should say is they sue to get the same
restore
bargaining, right, that the police and firefighters do. There's a lot of ways to look at this. While I appreciate Justice Protasiewicz's thoughts that she may recuse herself, and if Hagedorn didn't commit to it, he wouldn't commit to it when he was elected, okay, he wrote the law. Oh, okay, fair enough. But I think that's got more bias into it, because what are you going to say? Yes, the law that I helped craft is unconstitutional. Well, who's going to say that? Probably not Hagedorn. But if you're going to tell me that because as a sitting judge at the time and not a justice at the Wisconsin Supreme Court, someone who signed a lawful and legal recall petition, someone who engaged in First Amendment activity against this, what I would consider unconstitutional, unfair collective bargaining laws for very specific public unions, to engage in their constitutional rights to do that doesn't necessarily mean that she would vote one way or the other. Certainly, I don't think it should preclude her or should force her to recuse because she engaged in constitutional activities.
Dominic, a thoughtful texter, Wes from Middleton, questions. The nurses at UW Hospital are wondering why they didn't make the cut and get to keep their union. Are they not also important for health and public safety in the state? Well, yeah. Let's face facts, Wes. It was never about health and public safety. It was about who endorsed or who did Scott Walker perceive to be his enemy. That's the pure math, right? Scotty Fitzgerald's dad was the head of the state patrol. They were exempted. What do you know? And they endorsed his ass. And everybody else, you know, who didn't endorse, well, they got the whip. That's the way Scott Walker played politics. And I hope, Dom, you know, it's a long time coming, but I hope that is exactly why this is upheld as unconstitutional. Because had he treated them all the same, had he also stripped those rights from cops and firefighters, well, he might have a valid and legal law that upheld forever, because it's already been up the federal flagpole. But if the Wisconsin Constitution says you can't treat people differently under law, well, I think he's got a real problem here. He or those like Dewey Strobel that would support, you know, keeping Wisconsin from going backwards, back to when public sector employees had rights.
Backwards.
You know, because the other thing they're trying to do is take us back when women had the right to, you know, control their old bodies through abortion, you know, exactly. The Roe v. Wade days.
These are policies that are technically liberal, progressive. They've moved the country forward. Unions have helped the working people in this country. No, it wasn't always the case. And, it, you know, if you look at what the former president, Donald Trump, and some of the plans that he is rolling out to try to, you know, replace all these civil service workers, you know, get their whole crew in there. I mean, I don't think we want a government where everybody working in the system will be subject to what, being fired every 2 or 4 years because there might be a political change at the top that does not bode well for institutional knowledge, for all sorts of reasons. And if you start putting, you know, cronies in, it's going to really literally become the thing that they are so concerned about it becoming, this deep state and bureaucratic, whatever. I mean, Scott Walker did this, and Donald Trump is considering this. If he gets in, he's pretty much said he's going to try to do these kinds of things to get rid of these workers, to get rid of the vermin that, you know, weave themselves into our system. This is symbolic. This is the same. This is what the Republicans have been doing for a long time.
844-967-2789. Another texter from the 608 points out, getting rid of the union is why the Department of Corrections is in the predicament they're in now. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're down like 40% of their staff. What do you know? Prison guards don't want to go to work if they don't have any control over their workplace or their ability to get raises. It's almost like that's a bad job suddenly.
It's a raise. You can negotiate for your raise up to the point of up to the amount of inflation. Thank you very much.
Here's more from the texter. Remember, Wanker wanted to make the prison system so bad that the state would have no option but to sell them to a private corporation. Private.
Yes, that's another great point, Curry. A lot of private
prison money. When he was a state lawmaker, CCA, which was a private prison system, gave a lot of campaign donations directly to Scott Walker. And when you look at the rationale and the reason why the state of Wisconsin has twice the incarceration rate of the state of Minnesota and expends twice as much money incarcerating our citizens as does a nearly equally populated state in Minnesota. Why is that? Well, could it have something to do with the fact that Scott Walker was the receptacle of private prison money? And he wrote a lot of the truth and sentencing laws. And he was that backbencher Republican legislature that pushed it through and pushed it through and pushed it through. And what was his cause? Keep people in prison for longer. That was his cause. More inmates for longer periods of time. And of course, once he became the governor, well, then his thing was, and then take away all the prison guards' right to collectively bargain over their workforce environment. Because, you know, who wants to work in a prison and have some control over the workforce environment they might find themselves in? I'm sure there's nothing but nice people in there, Dom.
Right.
A few of your friends. I've been to jail, but prison's a whole different standard. That's a whole different thing. I guess we do know that one lady that went.
One time. Again, the lawsuit filed by the teachers alleges the Act 10's exemption of some police, firefighters, and other public safety workers from the bargaining restrictions violates the Wisconsin Constitution's equal protection guarantee.
There you have it. 844-967-2789. Does this matter? I mean, I know we got a lot of Wisconsin state employees that still listen to this show, Dom. A lot of them got off work about 45 minutes ago. So if you're out there and you have a strong opinion one way or the other, Act 10, I'd like to hear from you. 844-967-2789. I thought we'd moved on from this, but I could certainly see the rationale and the reason for revisiting it. I think these rights should be restored. We've seen a huge upswing in the population, the Americans and Wisconsinites. You know what? We're starting to realize, hey, unions are good for workers. Even if you're not in a union, don't resent the next guy for wanting to collectively bargain.
And we can look specifically at the most recent strikes at the big three automakers. And even after those strikes were settled, some of the foreign automakers announced miraculously, oh, we're going to give some raises out, big raises. Well, why do you think that happened? Because there's upward pressure from the unions. Crudy, Scott Bauer references a piece also from the AP talking about the Missouri court. So this is back in 2021. The Missouri Supreme Court on Tuesday struck down a 2018 state law that could have made it harder for some public union sectors to organize and collect dues, overturning a past priority of the Republican-led legislature, again, in Missouri. The high court said the law violated equal protection rights guaranteed by the Missouri Constitution by carving out public safety unions, such as those for police and firefighters, from the new restrictions imposed on unions for teachers and other public employees. The court said the entire law had to be invalidated because the exemptions were woven throughout it. There is no rational basis for protecting public safety employees from most, if not all, of the new provisions, Judge Mary Russell wrote for the majority in a 5-2 decision. And if we have a similar constitution, then I'm very hopeful.
You know, Dom, there is a piece at the Capital Times right now. The headline, Life in Lockdown, Why Wisconsin Prison Conditions Are Called Torture. Well, I would look back and say, how did they get that way? How did they devolve to this place? Overpopulation, understaffed, no investment. Well, Scott Walker never even pardoned anyone, right? No pardons. In his entire 8 years of governor, he never pardoned anyone. Tony Evers, 5 years, over 1,100 pardons. Now, God forbid anyone ever commit another crime in their life, get caught jaywalking, some Republican will make an anti-Tony Evers campaign ad. You know how that all
plays. They'll do it. They're going to do it anyway, regardless if none of those 1,100 people reoffend.
Scott Walker, a good Christian, offering zero pardons as the governor.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Mad Radio 92.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, ironically, this piece dropped today. Breaking news in Wisconsin, according to the Associated Press, 7 unions have sued to try and overturn, effectively, Act 10. And at the Capital Times here in Madison, there is an article posted, Life in Lockdown, Why Wisconsin Prison Conditions Are Called Torture. Well, it stems, I would suggest, from Act 10. But let's get some of this out there before we run out of time for this hour, Dom. The stench is the first thing that hits a person entering a general population cell block at the Green Bay Correctional Institute. It's the odor of hundreds of men on 3-tier levels who shower once or twice a week at most, and not always after they've been working out at recreation. It's the reek of men sitting on the toilet, using the bathroom in open-air cells, or making makeshift contraceptions to cook junk food brought at the prison canteen. The walls around them are literally rotting and rusted. Just look up and see the rust and things on the wall from the outside. Former inmate Larry Johnson told a group of fellow protesters outside the Green Bay Correctional in early November. Imagine what's on the inside. Bed linens on which unbathed men sleep add to the foul odor in each cell. All of this combines to create a stench that is its own physical dimension. A person's skin becomes drenched with it. When you walk through the doors, there's a stench, said Bobby Ayala, I believe, who first entered Green Bay Correctional as a teenager. There's a dank smell that you have on your body from the time you are there. The stench lingers physically and emotionally forever, the former inmate said. No governor or legislature has been able to improve conditions at the aging facility, much less put a lasting dent in Wisconsin's prison population. During COVID-19, the state experienced a major reduction in inmate population, which coincided with a near shutdown of court activity, only to have it snap back to regular numbers in 2023. And Governor Tony Evers pledged during his 2018 campaign to reduce inmate numbers, yet continues to publicly defer to the judgment of those leading the Department of Corrections rather than force change himself. The department has continued to oversee a culture of mass incarceration that hit Wisconsin in the late 1990s and never let go. Well, thanks to Scott Walker.
Crudy, it is a culture that transcends political parties, Department of Corrections secretaries, prison reform organizations, and the goals of anyone sitting in the governor's office. Its hold remains as even as conditions at the century-old prisons like Waupun and Green Bay reportedly include birds, bats, mice, and insects sharing space in people's cells. Inmates allegedly being told not to worry about their heart conditions because defibrillators will save them if they suffer cardiac arrest. And men, according to their families and other advocates, choosing suicide over the mental strain of lockdown conditions and solitary confinement. When those families showed up at the Department of Corrections headquarters in Madison to press for an end to lockdowns and other relief, staff members did not come out of their offices. A departmental spokesman told the Cap Times that the extra restrictions on inmate movement outside their cells, which have been going on at least since March, has no end date.
So people effectively, the whole prisons are in solitary confinements, or people are trapped in their cells 23 hours a day, approximately, for lack of staff. But please continue.
People advocating for prison reform say their cause is about more than improved living conditions. In their rallies and messages to state leaders, they're calling on the people who run the correctional system to reflect on Wisconsin's addiction to incarceration and to treat inmates as human beings. But many are discouraged by the response so far. While standing in the lobby of the DOC headquarters during a protest, one woman turned to a Cap Times reporter and said, "They're probably all hiding under their desks." Suicide was met with silence, a daughter says. Waupun killed my dad, said Megan Kolb, a daughter of Dean Henry Hoffman, who died by suicide in solitary confinement at Waupun in June. Kolb was among those speaking publicly and protesting in front of the Department of Corrections headquarters in Madison on November 15th. The protest was organized by Wisdom Wisconsin, a grassroots organization committed to reducing mass incarceration and fighting for the well-being of incarcerated people. Several speakers addressed a crowd for a few dozen on the lawn outside the DOC building before going into the lobby and demanding to speak with Department Secretary Kevin Carr. Kolb said her father had a lifelong history of mental health challenges, including bipolar disorder. She said his issues were documented well enough that it seemed unacceptable DOC would send him to a maximum security prison like Waupun rather than a mental health facility. Hoffman ended his life in June while in segregation in the third month of lockdown conditions at Waupun. But as Kolb pointed out, no one knew the extent of the lockdown conditions at that time. It wasn't until August when a news article appeared in the New York Times detailing conditions at Waupun that the outside world knew about the plight of the inmates. It wasn't as if the Department of Corrections was providing information, Kolb said. Quote, so on June 29th, we all got a call. They found my dad deceased in his cell, she told the Cap Times. That was through my mom. We never even got a call from DOC. We just talked to a medical examiner and the detective at the time. It was not until August when Times Fellowship reporter Mario Corin's article came out that we found out about the true issues at Waupun and how bad it was there. We have heard nothing since June from the DOC about my father's death. They never said anything. Kolb tried to speak with Carr and other DOC representatives when the rally spilled inside the lobby to the agency's headquarters. No one came out of their offices to acknowledge her. Kolb said that Hoffman, her father, had been in segregation for 9 days, even after he told correctional staff he might end his life. My father cried out that he was suicidal and he was ignored, Kolb told those in attendance using a megaphone as she spoke. After months of being ignored and being denied the help he so desperately needed, my dad took his own life. Waupun killed my dad due to their neglect. I am here today to fight in his honor. Since Hoffman's death, two more inmates have died.
Dom, there's more to this article at the Cap Times. We'll publish it at the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. But these actions are not without consequence, and they do ripple through our society. And you can say, well, those are prison inmates. It's supposed to be tough in there. Well, not inhumanely tough. And a lot of these people do end up back in our society. Do we want hardened criminals with no chance of reintegrating because of what they've been through in that prison? Or, you know, do we maybe want to have a fighting chance because we can't lock them all up forever like Scott Walker would have us? Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show will take your calls in a happier, happy hour, the Friday Eve edition. A lot of big stuff happening tomorrow, but Dom's going to be excited because we got some George Santos sound today before he gets expelled from the Congress. And if he could take a Democratic rep with him on his way out the door, Dom, you know you damn well he will. Reps,
he'll do it to anybody. Anyone he can drag down with him, I guarantee you he will try.
Happier, happy hour, George Santos. We'll burn it down.
We're going to deal with collective bargaining for all public employee unions.
Right.
Because you divide and conquer.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one thing.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.